Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and our Cooking Without Looking TV show podcast. I've got some special guests today, extra special. We have Lori Sissons from Blending the Blind and Sighted, and we've got Vito Ferreira, who is visually impaired. So hello, you guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So Lori, first of all, I'll hit you up first because this is our 50th show and or our 50th podcast, and you're the first sighted person outside of myself that's been on. And the reason why I chose you is because when I saw the title of your podcast, the Blending the Blind and Sighted, I was like, yes, 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 that's what we believe in too. Bring us all together to the party. So tell us about yourself, Lori.
I'm almost 40. My birthday's in 4 days, and I have 2 kids, and I started it with my ex-boyfriend and, well, Connie, and then there was 2 other people that started the group, and we just kind of felt that we needed to have something where nobody was judged, everybody was treated the same. And, you know, like, I don't know, I always get asked, like, you know, what are your shows about? And sometimes they're confusing and this and that, but it's not about so much what the show is about, it's about the fact that you can interact with people. Like, I got people on my shows that are blind and sighted and partial, and you can just, you know, the conversations aren't any different depending who it is. I mean, it's just everybody's equal. So, oh, that's my story.
Well, that's the main thing. And Vito, tell us a little bit about your life. Tell us about your blind journey.
I'm dressing it up for you. I know, I get you.
I put a bow tie on it.
Oh, beautiful. like I said, I'm from Jersey. That's where I hail from. I didn't find out about my vision in the mid 70s. I was like 17 years old on or about that time, and it turned out one of my older brothers had the same thing. My one brother was 10 years older than I, and so I figured, well, I guess we were going to follow in each other's footsteps. What he did, I would do. But he was the only one blind person, impaired person that I knew. It was just him and I. So we just kind of poked and hoped with it. I mean, we heard of people having other vision issues, but I don't know. We just back in that world back then, it was just like, you know, suck it up, don't whine about it. Get it done. You know what I mean? We are where we are, and don't whine about it.
Wow. Well, how much do you actually see, Vito?
I was at that time. It's hard to say because when I first discovered, the doc said, well, my vision was at best correct. It was 20/40. I had a pair of glasses, but the doc did say, well, you know, it's going to slowly degrade. Okay, fine. But I think right now, from then to now, I don't know. I have workable vision. I can manage. Sometimes I never used a cane until past year. But I was advised that it might be my best interest because I did a lot of walking. And they, I was told, well, you know, people don't know what they don't know what you're doing. You know, you look foolish to them. You know, they don't know what you're doing, and you may look like, drunk, if you will, you know, impaired.
But sure.
So I said, you know what? I just got to surrender to it. So I did. So I used a cane now. But I did work. I worked for I retired from AT&T. I retired back in 94. And I drove out, that was my last day, the 5th of December, 94. That was my last day of work. Last day I drove, pulled into the driveway, and that was it. Never been behind a wheel since.
Do you miss it?
Not as much. You just adapt to it. You say, well, this is it. This is my life. And, you know, there are other things. You just gotta say, you know, don't whine about it. Just
do what you have to do, right?
Exactly. And until, I was lucky enough to get employed with AT&T, which helped immensely with my family at the time. I mean, I was training to be an aviator. I grew up during the dawn of the space age. And I just lived rockets and, you know, space and all that. And that was my mission. I became an aviator. I joined the military. And at that time, the goal was, you join the military, you became a test pilot, you know, you learned to accumulate hours and you got into the space program. But it was a lot different as the years went by. But however, when I got grounded, I had to go for renew my medical for FAA, and they grounded me. I couldn't fly any longer. I think that was the hardest thing, because they always say the worst thing in life is the worst person to be around with is a grounded pilot, because we are the crankiest, meanest, aggravating, because we're grounded.
You're not doing what you love to do, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But anyway, you grow up. I mean, I have flown. I have flown again. I did when I was back in Jersey. I just said the heck with it. I got back in the cockpit with another pilot, of course. And I managed just to, you know, get that out of my thing there. But anyway, not to dwell. I have two children. One lives in New Mexico. One lives in Tucson. And what else does I don't know, regular stuff. They just came out to California. I don't want to go into boring stuff.
And Lori, tell me, as you know, when you had your boyfriend, what were some of the things you learned about blindness as a sighted person that sort of, quote unquote, opened your eyes?
Just, well, because he was fully blind. So it was just... just how he is, like how he does stuff in the day. And it's, you know, like the 7-8 months that he was here, it was crazy because I never understood blindness. Like I knew it was what it was, but you don't know it until you see it. And in my town, we only have a couple people that are blind. So it's not like it's around a lot, and I didn't grow up with it. So I knew nothing about how to guide a person or anything like that. So the first day I learned very quickly that I had to be on my toes, because if I'm not on my game, that's just gonna happen. Because within the first 5 minutes of him being here, he had fallen 3 times and hit his head on the bumper of the car. So I learned very quickly at that point that maybe I should hold on to him or go with him, or maybe I should have done something else. it all of it, just the reality of it, right? Like you can sit and think, I know what it's like to be blind, but you don't really know until you either are blind or, you know, see or live with somebody who is blind. You know, the little things that you think don't matter do matter to them, because, you know, you move something, it's completely messes them up because they're so used to it one way. And
you develop a routine. You develop a routine. There's a pattern. I live like there's a pattern. You know, I put things certain places, certain. I mean, I'm more fortunate because I do have some sight, so that does help. But you learn to do things the same way. You know, you do everything in the same place. And being with a sighted person, that it is difficult, because they want to be helpful. But it's like, well, you know, because like you're saying, Lord, because they don't know how much they think they're trying, but they're being too much. You know, then you start you start locking horns. I said, I can do it. Let me do it. You know, let me figure it out for myself. Or because what works for a sighted person doesn't work for me, or, you know, for others. And you just have to learn to say, okay, you know, you tell me when you need help. You know, you have to kind of sort of do it that way.
Well, I know when he was here and he'd get off of the bus or something like that, I'd hold on to the back of his coat. Right. Just so that, you know, when he got off the bus, he didn't go flying into shrubs or trees or cars or whatever. And he used to always kind of say to me, like, what are you doing? Don't do that. You don't have to hold me back like that. And I'm like, okay, fine. So one time I didn't do it. And the one time I didn't do it, he went flying into another person.
Did they say that?
And I'm like,
I told you so.
And I'm like, so do you want me to do it next time or no? Because I think that way was working. I was breaking my nails, but I was saving him from falling into people. Yeah, so, but I never did discover really if I should have done it or not before he left.
Well, you know, it's also different with each blind person as it is with each sighted person. You know, sometimes the blind person likes it one way, like, okay, you grab onto my elbow, or let me grab onto your elbow, or let me grab onto your shoulder, and everybody's different. And I think sometimes we sighted people, we are so overly trying to help someone who we see is blind that we just grab them, and it's like, whoa. You know, and you don't realize necessarily what you're doing. You have to be mindful of how that other person is going to react, or, you know, to you trying to help them.
Yeah, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. Just ask, you know, something. Just ask. Like, what if you tell me, you know, when you think you need a sentence, you know, because, hey, we're not mind readers, you know, so.
Right. Well, you know what? I think a lot, and you tell me, Lori, what you think about this, is I think a lot of sighted people are really nervous about approaching the thought of talking blindness to a person who's blind. They're afraid of saying or doing the wrong thing. Did you find that, Lori?
Yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah, because he had his, you know, routine where he used to live. Well, where he lives now, but he had a routine there for like 20 years or something. So he knew the place he was at, like, you know, the back of his hand, and he didn't have to, you know, use a cane or a dog or whatever, right? I mean, he can walk around the block, he can do whatever he wants to do there. So I'm like, okay, but yeah, but it is nerve-wracking. It's very nerve-wracking because I didn't know crap about blindness. So what I knew was what he told me. So, and what I learned through him. But yeah, it's something. It is definitely something.
Well, I know that you love to cook, Vito, but and I know you don't really have a recipe because you do it from intuition, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Well, do you have any really good tips for us?
Be careful.
I was going to say, don't burn the house down.
Because, you know, you develop techniques. I mean, sometimes you're taught techniques. And like when you go through the Commission of the Blind, they like teach you things, how to, you know, work a little more safely. Or they may have utensils or tools or whatever to help. You know, to help you along, but it's just, you still have to get the experience by doing it. You know, believe me, I've had so many cuts and burns and, you know, messes. You know, the kitchen floor here is my worst. Well, kitchen counter.
The kitchen floor.
I'm always spilling something, and it's like, you know, the counter or over the stove. You know, you just sometimes I forget. Because though I have vision, I still haven't, I still rely on my vision. Instead of saying, you know, let me take another few seconds to work more carefully. Like Connie like that. She works very, you know, carefully. And I just plunge, you know, do it. You know, she's a more, you know, dump. Do it this way. First I do it this way, this way. I just boom. And, you know, I know what I got to do. Let me just do it, you know. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, I don't know. But I cook that menu because it was necessity, because a lot of times I worked back when my kids were younger, you know, with work schedules. so I had to cook. And so sometimes I worked at night. At that time, my wife, she would work during the day, you know, so it was just conflict. So I just, plus you learn to cook, and you just do it. So you just, so after a while, you just got to like it. I got to enjoy it, you know, and hopefully my goal is, hopefully, I was intending to open up a place on or about springtime. I mean, those are my intentions, I guess, when things hopefully will, you know, settle down here and get organized. But that's my intent. I want to open up a small place. And
cool. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. It's just because my kids have been telling me for years, what'd you do? You do something. I said, yeah. You know, I said, you know, so this last year I thought about it. I said, you know what? I'm just going to go for broke. I went to school, the college, I thought of college, took some with FF, I think, gourmet, whatever. I know, whatever it is. I forget the name of it. Just to get some techniques and see what's new. So, but anyway, so that's that's my goal. So we'll open up. So.
That's really cool. Now, Lori, you've got your grandma's homemade mac and cheese. And since we're coming upon the holidays and lots of people make mac and cheese, you want to pop this off from memory?
I really had to think about it when I wrote it down. I don't have it in my memory. No, I just know it's really good. It's got peas in it, or you could have onions and garlic in it. Okay, so what I know, I'll tell you what I know, okay, what I can remember.
Okay.
So you cook the macaroni. So I don't know how much macaroni.
Good start. That's a good start.
Well, yeah, because for mac and cheese, you need the macaroni, right?
So, of course.
And then you get some cheese. You get some cheese, and you put the cheese in the macaroni, and you got mac and cheese. No, sort of. I don't know, you do a roux, you get it thick, you put the cheese in the roux and do whatever with that and put it on the noodles. And like I said, I can't remember out of my head. I have a terrible memory.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. Hey, how about a plug for your show? Tell us more and where everyone can listen to it and see it.
YouTube, if you type in Blending the Blind and Sighted, it should come up. And you could also find us on Facebook, which is Blending the Blind and Sighted Backstage Pass for the group and Blending the Blind and Sighted for the page. And we have a website too that has the live shows and the schedule and everything like that. So you can go to blendingtheblindandsighted.webador.com.
And
or you can email me if you want to be on the show at blindandblindandsighted@gmail.com.
Oh, that's great. And Vito, how can people get a hold of you?
I don't know.
Smoke signal?
My son has the same name as me, but I guess it's Vito Ferrara. My email's at AOL.com. I'm on Facebook somewhat. I'm not big. I don't do a lot of stuff on Facebook. Sometimes I'll do it just to pass the time. But anyway, yeah, that's it, I guess. I don't know. I never put myself out there. I don't know.
Well, thank you guys for being here today. I truly enjoyed it. And I wish you both the best in the best of holidays. This has been the Cooking Without Looking TV show podcast. And I'm Renee Rentmeester, creator and executive producer of both of them. And if you want to reach out to us, we have our website, www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And we like to say we're changing the way we see blindness. Thank you very much.
You bet. A pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.